We can wound.
My apologies.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. And come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, and live. And now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall to Jesus, fall to Jesus, fall to Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. And with your final heartbeat, you can kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.
Try to follow that. Very good job, Will. It is good to be here today, amen? I'll try that again. It's good to be here today, amen?
Amen?
Amen, much better. It's good to see everybody. Are we on here? Can you guys hear me okay? All right, well, happy Easter. You know, today is a special day in our nation. It's a day that our nation is focused on Jesus, focused on His resurrection from the grave. And we are here today because Jesus was victorious over death. Amen? That's why we're here. And because of that, we have hope. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we have the promise of an eternal life if we're Christians. Last week we talked about what Jesus has done for us, and our kids sang the Casting Crowns song, Glorious Day. And we said that Jesus left His throne of glory to come down on this earth, and while He was here, He suffered. And He died. And the verse of the chorus of the song says, living He loved us, dying He saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. Pilate didn't condemn Jesus, but Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. And the best part of remembering what Jesus has done for us is the fact that we know we have the promise that he's coming back to get us and take us home. And for the Christian, that will be a glorious day. And we talked about what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Will, for that beautiful song. You know, we talk all the time and we encourage each other to use our talents to serve and use our talents to praise God. And thank you for letting us experience your talent today. What a talent he has. And the song he sang is known as Come to Jesus. But the title of it is actually Untitled Hymn, if you want to look it up. It was written by a man named Chris Rice. And in that song, we find many appropriate responses to what Jesus did for us on that cross. And I want to go through this song this morning. The first line of the song, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Jesus wants us to respond to what he did for us on that cross by coming to him. And think about what it means to come to Jesus. Think about in your own life. Think about when you were a child and you were injured or you were sick or you got scared in the middle of the night. What'd you do? You ran to your mother, right? You ran to your mother if someone hurt your feelings or you fell down on the playground. You ran to mom, and even if it was just a scratch or a bump, when your mom picked you up, all was well, right? The crying would eventually stop because you knew your mother would comfort you. Christians have a place to go for comfort as well. And that comfort is found in Jesus. We read what Danny read for us in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We all face struggles in this world, don't we? If there's anyone here who doesn't face a struggle, raise your hand. Like Clinton talked about in his communion devo, these thuds that come along in our lives. But more often than not, don't we try to cover them up? Don't we come to church with our smiling face on, and when people ask us how we're doing, we say, "Oh, I'm doing fine." But you know, I can tell you I'm doing fine, and you may believe that from the outside, but on the inside, I might be dying. I might be struggling. There are things that go on in our lives that we don't want anyone to know anything about. But the fact remains, we all struggle, and we all need God's comfort. Maybe you've been that family with a weekly income of $500 and $800 worth of weekly expenses. Maybe you've been that person who just received a bad report from your doctor and things don't look real good. Maybe you're the couple that's fighting and you're not sure where things are going to end up. Maybe you're the man who just learned his job is ending. There are these big hurts, these big struggles we all face. But then there's also some smaller issues we deal with. But just because they may be small on the grand scale doesn't mean they're not big deals in our lives. Maybe it's a friend or family member that doesn't communicate with you as much as you'd like. Maybe you're in school and it's a bad grade or a class that you just think you're not going to get through. Maybe it's a boring, dead-end job you think you'll never get out of. The stories go on and on. The lonely, the discouraging, those who are suffering. Jesus was talking to those people then, and through his word, he's talking to us today when he says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle in heart and humble, and you will find rest for your souls." When we're told to come to Jesus, he doesn't promise that he's immediately going to solve the problem all the time. But Jesus clearly says, you'll have struggles. We know that. But when we trust him and when we come to him, he will give us what we need to to get through that struggle. He will give us what we need to persevere. As the song says, come to Jesus and live. The next line, now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Who in here likes to sing? Raise your hand. Leave your hands up if you're good at singing. Now, why'd all those hands go down? Let me tell you something. If you're singing praises to God, you're good. If you are praising God with your lips, it is a sweet sound to God. And when we get together, there's nothing better than singing about what God has done for us. Now, we may not sound like the Harlem Gospel Choir, and trust me, we do not. But when we all join together and we praise God, it is a sweet sound to our Lord. And that's what we're here to do, to glorify Him. When we sing, we're doing what God has asked of us. We're digging deep into His Word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. As we sing, we're promised the Word of God will dwell richly in us. And that's a goal we have. And when we're singing, we build each other up, right? Being among our brothers and sisters and singing helps us remember God's promises, remember what Christ has done for us. And when we sing together, there may be people around us who don't know Jesus, and they can be impacted by that. And singing also strengthens us, doesn't it? Paul and Silas, they were spreading the Word of God. They were teaching about Jesus, and they got locked up. They got thrown into prison, into the inner cell. And you know what they were doing? They weren't calling their lawyer like I'd be doing. They were singing praise to God. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. There's a group of missionaries who were overseas, and they got locked up for teaching about Jesus. And when they got back to the United States, the leader of their group was being interviewed about his experience in jail. And he said, you know what, we were very down at first. And then we remembered the words from Scripture. And so we started to sing. And they came and they put chains on our arms and our feet. And we got discouraged about that. But it wasn't long until we realized, hey, these chains could be used to help us keep time as we sing. So we passed our time singing, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, for He has made us glad. Singing strengthens us, church. It helps us persevere. It helps us endure. And if it can strengthen Paul and Silas and this group of missionaries, just think what it can do for you in your daily struggle. How often do you face a trial at work or some problem in your family, and you remember a song you sing at church, and it goes through your mind, and it can provide peace and comfort? Singing does that. Sing to Jesus and live. The next verse of the song. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Do babies immediately start walking? No. Babies start off crawling, don't they? And they crawl for a while. And then eventually they start to walk. But once they start to walk, do they always walk perfectly? No. And if you don't believe that, there actually, our neighbor has this. I saw it the other day. They've invented cushion-like things to go around the perimeter of a coffee table to keep the babies from falling into them. Have you seen those? Babies fall a lot when they walk. But they'll never get good at walking if they don't keep trying. But they will fall a lot before they get to that point. The same is true spiritually, church. When we become Christians, we crawl, and eventually we start to walk, but we'll never walk perfectly, will we? Sometimes we'll fall, sometimes we'll stumble, sometimes we'll lose focus of where we're going. But guess what? We can fall to Jesus. We can fall on Jesus. An appropriate response to what Jesus did for us on the cross is to remember that in those times when we fall, when we lose focus, when we stray, we always can fall back to Him. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is walking on the water, literally on top of the water. And the disciples are out there in their boat, and they're afraid, and they see Him coming, and they think He's a ghost. Wouldn't that scare you to be out on a lake and someone start walking towards you? That'd be scary, right? And so they're afraid. And Jesus says, beginning in Matthew 14, verse 27, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed aboard the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Peter did something no one in this room has ever done before. He literally walked on top of the water. But he also fell, didn't he? And why is it that he fell? Well, we're told he saw the wind. He saw the waves. He saw the storm that was going on around him. He took his focus off Jesus and put it on everything else going on around him, and he started to fall. But he fell to Jesus, and he cried out to him, "Lord, save me." And the lesson we learn, church, even though he could still walk on water and do something miraculous, he still stumbled. And so will we. You see, when we become Christians and we walk with Christ, we're going to have those moments where everything's going well, where we feel like we're up on the mountain, where maybe we feel like figuratively we can walk on water because of all the blessings going on around us. And those are great times, and we need to praise God in those times. But there's also going to be those moments like Peter where we stumble, where we lose our focus, where we get off track. And the lesson we learn from Peter is that when we fall, fall to Jesus. He saved Peter, and He'll save you too. The next line of the song. "Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live." You know, we're not very comfortable as a society with tears, are we? A lot of times we see people crying and we don't know what to say, and we think we have to come up with something to say, and it makes us uncomfortable, and sometimes it's difficult. We've grown up in a society that tells us tears are a sign of weakness, that they're for those who are soft or vulnerable or a sign of defeat. Little boys are often taught, real men don't cry, right? Or get control of yourself, we hear, or grow up, quit crying, and eventually we do. And then we become hard and calloused and cold. You know, crying might seem like a strange response when we think about it being an appropriate response to what Jesus did for us. But we cry for all kinds of reasons. We cry tears of joy. We cry tears of sorrow. We cry for help. And God knows when we cry. We cry sometimes because we feel lonely. Or maybe we feel like we're the only ones who are suffering pain or suffering problems. When your life seems dark, dreary, or rainy, like it has for the last 6 months here in our area, right? We never cry alone when we're Christians. God wants you to cry to Him. In fact, we're told in Psalm 56:8, this is beautiful. The psalmist says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in a bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Think about that, church. God has record of your tears. If that doesn't show the sign of a God who cares, I don't know what does. He knows when you cry. He knows all about your sorrows. We can cry out to Him, and we know that He hears us. And also when we're in trouble, when we're scared, when we start to fall, we also can learn, as Peter did in Matthew 15:30, as he was sinking, "Lord, save me." You know, by our standards, that's a pretty short prayer, right? We get into this notion that prayer has to have an introduction and a body and a conclusion, and we certainly have examples and patterns for prayer, and those are great. But a simple prayer when you're down and out, when you're struggling at work, when you're struggling in your life, "Lord, save me, help me, be here for me." Those are prayers that are so important and so effective. Cry to Jesus and live. The next line. "Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live." As we said earlier, we have moments as Christians when we fall. We have moments as Christians when we cry. But we also have moments as God's people of great joy, don't we? Of great gladness in our hearts. And it's in those times we need to praise God and dance for Jesus. Did you wake up this morning and were you able to breathe on your own? Dance for Jesus. Could you see and hear and walk when you got out of bed? Dance for Jesus. Praise God for those things that we so often take for granted. If you're here this morning and you're saved for eternity, dance for Jesus. Now, I'm not much of a dancer. And that might surprise you, but I'm not real nimble on my feet. And I look kind of ridiculous when I dance, and so I don't dance. And you know, growing up in the Church of Christ, Churches of Christ have kind of had a difficult history with the idea of dancing. Not going into that today. But despite church tradition, despite maybe the way some of us were raised, dancing for God because you have joy and thanksgiving in your hearts is very biblical. 2 Samuel 6:14-15, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. David was praising God. He had so much joy, so much thankfulness in his heart that he was dancing for God. He wasn't just dancing a little jig. We're told he was dancing with all his might. Do you ever dance when things go well? Do you ever have a celebratory dance when you've gotten good news? Or maybe you're at your kids' or grandkids' sporting event and they hit the home run or score the touchdown or dunk the basketball or pin the person on the mat. I'm trying to think of all the sports here if I forgot one. Or win at the track meet. Got you, Abby. We do, right? We celebrate and we dance and we give all of our might to these great things that happen in our lives. And I wonder sometimes, and I ask my own self, why am I so reserved when it comes to showing my expression and my joy and my thankfulness to God? True worship is not a spectator sport. To worship is to change, to allow God to change you every time you worship Him. Worship isn't the work of the preacher or the song leader. It's the duty of each person. God is alive and active. And we should never approach God in worship by being slack and just sitting around. Church is not a place where we come just to have our minds stimulated, but it's a place we come to engage with God Himself. And our whole lives can become a dance before Him. King David knew how to worship. We're told he worshiped with all his might. He poured out his heart and his soul into what he was doing. And true worship doesn't stop when we leave those doors. True worship can't be contained to an hour and a half on Sunday morning. It is a daily dance before the Lord. Are you thankful for what He's done for you? Are you thankful for how He saved you? Are you thankful for what He has given you in this life? Dance for Jesus and live. And the final verse of the song, "And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live." The day's coming when we will all have our final heartbeat, right? Our dear brother Bert Clendenin used to say all the time, "You know, the thing about this life is, ain't none of us getting out of here alive." I miss Bert. He used to say it all the time. The day is coming when we'll all have our final heartbeat. We will all kiss this world goodbye. And for the Christian, that's going to be a glorious time. But for those outside of Christ, that's going to be a time of devastation like you've never seen before. But for the Christian, can you imagine what this will look like? Can you imagine what this will look like when we fly to Jesus on that day where we'll be able to understand finally perfect peace? On that day where we'll be able to finally see God, have a conversation with Jesus. And as the song says, laugh on glory's side. Have you ever thought what it might be like one day to share a laugh with God? Think about that. Think about that when this world drags you down. Does this world ever zap you? Do you ever hang out with somebody who just drains the life out of you? We have people like that, right? Maybe you go to work and your job is just so mundane that you just feel zapped at the end of the day. Maybe that class just goes on forever and you think the teacher will never stop. I mean, we all have these things in life. A lot of times they're called jobs that just drain us. When certain situations like that happen, remember, for the Christian, this is all temporary. You have a day coming where you will fly to Jesus. Isaiah says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We talked about this verse last week, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Fly to Jesus, the song says, and live. But not just live here. Live for Him, with Him, for eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why wait? What is it that you're waiting on? God has made a way to save you through His Son. His Son has conquered death. He arose from that grave. He has ascended to heaven. He's ready to make intercession, talk to God on your behalf, and He's ready to save you. And when you become a Christian, you're never alone again. You have a family. You have a Savior. You have a God dwelling in your heart. You have a Savior to come to, a Savior to sing to, a Savior to fall upon, a Savior to cry to, a Savior to dance for, and a Savior to fly to when your life in this world is over. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know Jesus today? If not, He says, come to me. Confess that you know I'm Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins, which means I know I've sinned in the past. And my heart desires to turn away from that. I'm sorry for my past and I want to walk in a new light.